Wait, wait, stop. That's the one.
Welcome to Zenten Speaks, a show where I make new friends and reconnect with old ones. A show where everyone's stories may inspire you to tell your own story. In this podcast, we encourage everyone to get rid of shame, guilt, fear, doubt, and judgments for themselves and for others, and replace those with love, empathy, compassion, understanding, kindness, and to do your best in everything that you do. In essence, to get rid of things that no longer serve your well-being, to be true to yourself and be honest with others.
I didn't save your number yet. Is this?
Yeah.
Oh, great. Okay, making sure someone else is not, because it's like early, so I didn't want someone else calling in and add an appointment talking to you. Cool.
No, this is me.
Awesome. Thank you for calling. Yes. So, I guess I just, you had a lot to say. I just wanted to hear what you have to say. I'll let you take the floor.
Okay. Well, it's good to hear from you. I'm glad you're surviving this COVID thing that's happening.
Thank you. Yeah, surviving there.
That's good. How have you been?
Just living life and being grateful, surviving.
That's good.
Prior COVID, even, yeah.
yeah. Being grateful is that's part of life. Yeah, that you need to be grateful, or else you'll go crazy sometimes.
Yeah, certainly. I'm not one of those people who are take things for granted or always complaining. I'm always giving thanks, and basically giving thanks is praying, because giving thanks, yeah.
That's good. Well, yeah, what I believe in is, like, just basically just what I said. I believe Jesus is God, and over the time, since around the time you met me, when we took photos together, I had an experience with God where I felt like he was calling me, and I found him in the Bible, and he changed my life. Probably around the time, or like either right before or right after you met me, when I was like 22, 23.
Oh.
And he just showed me what real love is and what true love is. And it's that he literally gave his life for me. And that's pretty much the most powerful thing you could do for someone, is give your whole life, even while I was, you know, sinning and against him. And if someone could give their life for me while I was sinning against them, it definitely changes my heart and perspective to things. Right? Wouldn't that change your heart and perspective?
Yeah, that's a great gesture, and basically gratitude for that,
yeah.
Certainly. Because if that happens, if you're in a car accident and someone, quote-unquote, saves your life, then you would feel the same way, yeah.
Yeah, so I kind of feel like he redeemed my soul. And as I read the Bible, it talks about how his word is who he is. And that's how you get to know him. And, you know, I do go to a church, but I went church hopping for a while. And I realized that, you know, the church, as it's described in the Bible and what God says about the church, is like, it's a group of people. Not necessarily like an organization or a nonprofit or a building. It's actually the people who follow God and follow God's heart. That's the church, really. So I wanted to be a follower of Christ, because it says that the head of the church is Christ, and we're all members of the body. So basically what Jesus calls us to do is to make disciples and to teach people about him and his good news, that he is the way to salvation, and he's the way to love, and then also to act accordingly, right? Like, I couldn't claim Jesus and then act like a lunatic, because then I'll give Christians a bad name, I'll give Christ a bad name. It's like, when many people have done that in history, so I'm trying to do my best to follow Christ. I'm not perfect, you know, but just me as a person right now, trying to follow Christ, I'm just trying to teach people and lead them to him, which is through the Bible. Yeah, so that's where I'm at right now. And, you know, he calls us to do things like avoid the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, and to do good works, like to be humble, to do justice, and to love mercy and love kindness. And it's really simple when it comes down to what he's asking us to do. Sometimes it can seem more complicated than it really is. And yeah, praying and being grateful is definitely a part of that.
That's very beautiful and admirable and awesome that you're doing it. And basically you're living on purpose, because you're doing something on purpose. You know what you need to do, and then you're working on doing it. Unlike many people who just wake up and then they just live by accident, and then that way they hurt themselves and other people around them. So that's very inspiring, and I'm happy to hear that you've been doing that for a very long time. I don't even remember. I know we met, but I know we met a super long time ago.
Yeah, it was like in 2012, I think, or 2013.
Oh, wow. Yeah, times go by fast. Yeah. Oh my God, 10 years almost? Wow.
Yeah, basically.
Wow, that's great. And so I'm curious about how did someone explain the Bible to you, or you understood it reading it by yourself?
Well, I would say that if you feel like an urge in you to follow God, if you feel like a call in you, it's definitely God speaking to you, because it's like a little whisper in the back of your head. It's your conscience, you know. It's like, because it says in the Bible, like, God is a spirit, but it also says that he's the Word.
Mm-hmm.
So, and he calls us, and it says that he calls us to worship in spirit and in truth. And a lot of people, you know, that's like, it's hard, you know, we know things that are real that we can't see, right? We know that love is real, but we can't see it. It's not like a physical thing, right? It can result in physical gestures and physical, you know, actions that we take to show love to each other. But the actual, you know, experience of love is not something like, it's almost like a spirit. Right?
Yeah.
Something that you can't see, but you know is real.
Yeah.
And that's kind of part of what God was, even though he came down in the flesh as Christ. A lot of people are like, well, God doesn't exist. Well, yeah, he did. He lived, literally.
Uh-huh.
He said, there's no greater love than for man to lay his life down for another. Mm-hmm. You know, and it also says that God is love. So he's literally everything. He created everything. And he created good and evil, you know, for a reason, to show us the difference between the two, to show that even in spite of evil, that love does conquer. And I think that trusting in him and believing in him is really the only hope and salvation we have. It is. So it's a calling, and that's what it means to be, like, saved. It's like you realize that's the only way out of this mess of reality. I mean, it's not, the thing is, like, not out of reality, because we're stuck in reality, but I mean, like, it's the only way to survive reality. And be saved, really. Otherwise, it's like the way of the world. The way to God is narrow.
Mm-hmm.
It's only one way. The ways of the world is wide. The way I understood the Bible is really by reading it and then listening to the conscience that God gave me.
Wow.
Because it says that, some people explain things to me, but you do need to be a disciple, and you do need to, like, take advice that's sound. But he'll give you, if you listen to him, then he'll give you discernment on what is good and what's evil. And he'll show you, you know, he'll, even though, like, some things that I may want to do are good, are bad, he'll show me, like, yeah, this is bad. And that's the whole thing about temptation. It's like, yeah, I want to do a lot of things that are bad, but I know that I shouldn't do those things because as I've gotten to know God, he calls me to do the opposite, basically.
Mm-hmm.
So it's taken me a long time to have some sort of discernment, and sometimes I still slip up, but it's like anybody can access God. It's not through my own power that I've gotten to know God. It's like, it's by his power. It's like, I didn't find God, he found me, you know?
Mm-hmm.
That's really what it is. So you have to just be open to receiving the facts of who he is and what he did. And once you're open to receiving that, then, and you seek him, go, like, run the race. Seek him while he's near, you know? It's like, don't like take a second thought and be like, well, I want to go back, because it says like you, in order to be saved, like in order to be know God, it's like you have to be born again. And I talk about like your spirit, like the spirit God gave you. He's really, hold on 1 second. The spirit that God gave you is, you know, it's, if you don't, like, come to realize him, then you're kind of, like, stuck in the old man. But if you realize him and you realize that he's Jesus and that he gave everything for you and he died for you, then you're kind of, like, you come to this realization that the spirit, like, the old man, the ways that you had once lived in, it's, like, not the way to go. But once you come to realize that he sacrificed everything and then you want to live for him, that's, like, the realization of being born again. What a lot of Christians say, oh, you have to be born of water and spirit. They're talking about being born again and, you know, so that's just, like, the it's like when you become a new creation, you're totally not the old person that you were.
Right.
So the person that I was when I met you, most of those ways, if not all of those ways, are gone. And it's really real, because even science kind of explains that. It's like your body really changes over every 7 years.
Uh-huh.
It's like your body goes through a cycle. There's a lot of things that, and there's, I mean, also there's a lot, if you look at science, there's a lot of things that science says that the Bible kind of goes along with that. Not everything, but.
Well, I mean, science doesn't need to prove your reality or your experiences either.
And also, yeah, that's true. And also science, it disproves itself all the time.
Uh-huh.
So it's not, you know, some science proves the Bible, some science goes against the Bible. It's, you're going to get a mixed reviews, right? So you have to trust, like, your instinct, almost real, and do your research. And, yeah, so that would be my best advice for you, is just to read the Bible. Like, if you want to know God, and to seek people, also, like, to join a group of people, like, that are believers and will guide you in the right way. I can be one of those people for you if you'd like. I mean, that's really my peace of mind right now. I would definitely. Do you have a Bible?
Yeah, I do, definitely. And I have, actually, I grew up Jehovah's Witness, and I have read the Bible as soon as I, let's just say, 10 years when I was able to read. I read it twice a year, and then...
Wow, that's more than me. I struggle getting through it. I've gotten through, like, probably 70% of it.
Okay.
And... I'm not the best reader, to be honest, but from what I've read, like, when I started reading the Gospels, like, when I started reading Matthew, I started reading, just about Jesus' life.
Mm-hmm.
From that perspective, I realized that he was the one that I needed to follow, and then I started reading, like, I read the four Gospels, then I went back to Genesis, and I started reading Genesis, and I'm up to, I went through the Psalms, and then I went to, and the thing is, like, yeah, my walk with Christ, it's been up and down. Like, I've had slip-ups, and I've tried to turn away from God, but God definitely pushed me in the way to salvation. He pushed me in the way, like, you know, I don't know if you know the story of Jonah, when God wanted to...
Right, I know.
I forget, it's the Ninevites, I think?
Yeah, I know the story of Jonah, and then he tried not to go, and then he...
Gets swallowed by a fish.
Right, yep. And then he went in and preached to them afterwards, yeah.
Exactly, but it's like, it's kind of like that, when you run away from God, even though he's calling your heart, he'll put you in difficult situations to test you, in order, not to tempt you, but to, because God's not a tempter. He doesn't want us to fall into sin. It's, he'll test your faith for him. Because he's given everything, he wants you to... I feel like that's a normal reciprocation in a relationship. It's like, you want to know that someone really cares about you. You're not gonna try to make them stumble, but you're going to give... You're going to push them and guide them in the way that they should go. Because he knew that then the people needed to hear about it. Him and Jonah, I guess, because they were sinners, he was like, well, it's no use talking to them because they're just gonna, it's like, why would I feed a swine pearls if the swine is gonna trample on me, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's like, why am I gonna talk about God if all they're gonna do is persecute me? And that's kind of the story of God. Like, Jesus did that. He said the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Even though all the people that were trying to follow God at the time, they were killed for it, unfortunately. It's even in spite of that, like, the spirit of that God gives you is more powerful, and it still has transcended to this day. Like, 2,000 years later, 3,000 years later, people are still following God.
Yeah.
Nothing has changed, even though many humans have died in the name of God, for good and bad reasons, but, you know, for the good reasons, that they wanted to help people and show people this salvation and love of Christ, that still has power. God has defeated sin. So it's like, when you go on the winning side, no one can, you don't fear anybody but God, you know?
Right, certainly.
Because he has the power to, we are just mortals, like, we're just vapors here temporarily, but God is eternal.
Mm-hmm.
And then he also resurrected, so, you know, it's a win-win when you're on his side.
Right.
So you tell me about growing up in Jehovah's Witnesses. How was that?
For me, my experience was great. It was uneventful. But of course, like, when I left, I learned a lot of stuff that weren't kosher, if that's the word. And
yeah.
But then I learned later on when I was older than when I left is because I learned a lot about the molestations and how they weren't bringing people to the police that were doing things.
In Jehovah's Witnesses?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear that.
And, like, I didn't, none of it, these things happened to me. I just learned afterwards. But the only thing I've noticed when I was a kid is, I would say, like, now as an adult, is just human faults. I've spoken to people who are older now and who've left. They have trauma and they're very bitter and mad about it, but to me, I'm looking at it as just humans doing things. Like you were mentioning earlier, you were saying slip ups. I feel like humans do their best. Like I do my best. I don't go to a religion, but every day I live myself like a quote unquote good person. But sometimes life happens, and then I slip up in a sense of like someone might piss me off, and I meditate for patience. Actually, I pray or meditate every day to be like Solomon and have wisdom and all this stuff. But sometimes someone pissed me off so much that I let wisdom out of the door, and then I'm really sin that way. So but yeah, I don't have anything really bad to say about Jehovah's Witnesses beside a human thing where people contradict themselves, where they're not nice a lot. And but none of these things I would say about Jehovah's Witnesses are my experiences. It will be about what other people think of it and what I've seen in the news, because my experience was pretty zombie and robotic, because when I was not thinking for myself or just thinking at all. I was just following something.
Right. I went to Catholic school, so I kind of, probably not as intense as Jehovah's Witness, but it's like very like robotic. Like you're just following the ceremonies and the religion and the practice of the people.
Yeah, the doctrine. The thing is,
yeah, it's like faith without works is dead.
Yep, yep, you know? Yep.
So, but at the same time, you can't base your religion just based off of works. So if you think of it, if you equate works with religion, it's like, yeah, when you can practice religion and that's good, but if it doesn't have this, if you don't have love, you don't have anything. It says that so many times. That's very emphasized in the Bible. It's like, the Spirit of God is the Word. The Spirit of God is love. So if He is the embodiment of love, your actions, if you want people to come on your side, you gotta love them, right? you can't, God isn't going to fear-monger people. He's not going to force people. That's why He gave us free will. What kind of relationship would it be with God if He was like, well, I'm basically going to kill you if you don't follow me?
Well, that's what a lot of religion says.
Excuse me?
That's what a lot of religion says. Like, if you don't, like what you just said, if you don't follow God or if you don't read anything, He's just going to kill you.
Well, that's the way that I put it is not a very loving way, and that's not the way that the thing is though. We have the free will to choose love though. Uh-huh. So it's not the ultimatum is not necessarily. It's like you're kind of the way I see it is very black and white in a way, right? However, you have the free will to choose gray. You have the free will to choose black. You have the free will to choose white. You know, whatever you want. But there's different shades of light, right?
Yeah.
But it also says, like, the wages of sin is death. So if we choose to, we can earn our wages, right? And we have that option. We can totally collect the wages of sin. the thing is, though, it's like, if you jump off a cliff, you're probably gonna die, right?
Probably.
So that's kind of... Okay, so that's what I'm trying to... Or you're definitely gonna die.
Mm-hmm,
It's more of like a choice if you look at it in the capacity of like, oh, well, we have free will. But if we choose Christ, it's like, that's also free. He freely gives us that option, just like he freely laid down his life. It's not so... And his promises are fulfilled. It's not... There's no take-backs, right? Like, once you put your trust in Christ, he's willing. He's never willing for us to go to hell or willing for us to fall into sin. It's always his will that we follow him. It's always his will that he shows us love. Because he's a good father, right? So, if a good father is to... And it's described like that in the Bible many times, like, he's a father, he's Father God. I'm sure you've heard that many times, or something to similar effect. It says also, like, if a good father is to, has hungry children, is he gonna give the children a scorpion instead of a piece of bread? No, he's gonna give them a piece of bread, and that's like, any like mediocre father would do that for his children.
Yeah.
You know? So how much more would a heavenly father do for us?
Mm-hmm.
And if you think about it like that, like, that's how much trust that we need to have in all aspects of our life. Because right. It's only by, and you're right, being grateful and thankful is a totally good thing. But if we put our trust in ourselves, like you said, like, sometimes we slip up, we don't have the wisdom that we need. The thing is, though, when we are conscious of that, we're able to repent, we're able to turn from our ways. And even some sins, like you said, like you get angry, little sins like that, it doesn't justify it, we should try not to do it, right? But if we slip up, God is willing to forgive us. Because love covers a multitude of sins. If God is love, he's going to forgive those things. The thing is, though, the good thing is, though, he's going to guide us in the right way. And since he's paid for the sins on the cross, if we put our trust in him, he's just totally willing to wipe our slate clean, no matter what we've done. If we've, you know, slept around with a bunch of people, if we've killed people, as long as God is able to transform our heart, you know, no matter what happens, like, he's got us. That's how much trust is like there when he comes into your heart. It's like, that's all you need.
Yeah, I have a question.
Nothing, what's up? What's the question?
Yeah, I have a question for you. Because when you mention, so sometimes you slip up, like, what do you mean? Because I'm asking this question because when I was being Jehovah's Witness, like, we know that, like you were saying, not perfect. I feel like we don't need to say we're not perfect because we know we're not. And so we know we're sinful, and we're sinful like three times, like in our thoughts and our words and in our actions anyway. So why emphasizing on being slip up when we're gonna do that? We can just do our best to do the best, but why emphasize and focus on, oh my God, I slip up and all this stuff? What do you mean by slip up?
Well, I mean, I'm talking about sinning, but I guess if you don't, that is something that I'm working through right now, like, is to not feel so condemned when I slip up.
Yeah, because I was going to ask about, yeah, because
in Christ, there's no condemnation.
Yeah, he died for your sins and stuff. So
exactly.
If you feel so bad, like some priests, they will penitence themselves and punish themselves. But he did that for you already. All you got to do is pick up yourself and get back up.
Right. Everyone has different journeys. And exactly. As many times as you fall down, you have to get back up. You know? That's a good point. And I'm still, you know, I'm still working on that to not feel so condemned. And, you know, when condemnation comes, I know that is the enemy. It's the enemy, the self-doubt, the insecurities, all those things. But I just have to remind myself, you know, and the thing is, like, demons are real. Like, you have to, the thing is, yeah, when you know about a lot of things, like how easy it is to get possessed by, like, the world, you have to continually go back. It's a daily walk, right? Not yeah. to worry about, but I can't worry about tomorrow. It's like there's enough for me to worry about today.
Yep, tomorrow don't exist until you're there.
exactly. So that's, I mean, and that's really what I guess I'm trying to say is, like, every day it's kind of a daily process. And I don't want to sound condemning, because I know that in the past I've come off like that to friends and family, and it's put a strain on our relationships. But at the same time, like,
you're learning and you're growing. Yeah. That's part of growing, because I've done the same stuff. Like, I think it's human nature. We like point fingers and being stern, and then once you know better, you know better. You know better now, and I'm glad that you actually say those words and you know better, because I've done the same thing too. That's awesome.
Yeah, it's definitely something I'm working through right now. Like, I'm trying to figure it out, because I can't be. Because, like, when we feel condemned with our sin, it's kind of like we're going to project that onto someone else.
100%, yeah.
And sometimes there's a thing where it's like, well, let's say someone's doing something like, like remember I was talking about homosexuality, and I was like, well, because I was totally in that lifestyle, and I understand what it feels like, and I'm like pointing at someone, like, don't do this, like, it's bad, you know, but I'm doing it in a way that's not loving and showing them love and the way of Christ. It's like, I'm not really doing anything. I'm just kind of harassing someone. I don't want to.
Oh, wow.
You know, so it's like, I have to do it out of love. I can't do it out of,
how'd you get to that realization?
It's not like it takes a lot of time, you uh-huh. know, and I also had to fall a bunch of times in homosexuality to really understand, like, the issues in the community and the issues of the heart and how did I end up here, you know? And it takes I'm still working through it. It's a daily process.
So
even though I'm still tempted, I have to trust in God that he'll help me resist temptations. And not be a hypocrite, one. Also, not... and also be loving to all kinds of people.
Yeah. Question for you about... Because I've seen some... before I ask that question... So are you belong to any... what's that kind of thing called? Denomination or church?
Denomination? I think... I go to a church. I don't know exactly the denomination. It's under the Christian Missionary Alliance.
Christian Missionary Alliance? Okay.
That's what the church that I go to is under, but I consider, like, that's where I go to, like, listen to worship music and to pray and to, you know, be in a community of people. And, you know, not everyone has to do that. I mean, everyone should worship, because that's kind of, worshiping God is good for us more than it is good for God, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, totally. It keeps you, just like when, I feel like, I think, based on history that I follow, especially, a lot of holidays or birthdays or whatever, is for people to get together and to remind people to gather together and for a cause or something like that. So same with the churches. Like, say if you go every Sunday, if you don't remember, if you don't go every Sunday, then you not keep practicing the getting together and people around you reminding you why you there, why you there for.
Exactly. It's for the people, and it's for, and to, and also to build your relationship with God. You know, it's not for me to just show face and just show up and look pretty, you know? It's not, no one cares about that, really.
Yeah.
It's about, like, what is God doing? How are you going to, like, help this person's soul? How are you going to help this person's life? How are you going to help your own life if you're in, if I'm in sin, uh-huh. you know? And I need to feel better. I'm going to pray, you know?
Yeah.
Because that's really the only options when we run out of options in the physical, we're going to go to the spiritual. But if you turn it around, if before we do anything in the physical, if we start our days with, like, praying and worshiping God, then the physical will follow after. It's like, we shouldn't do physical then spiritual. We should do spiritual then physical, you know? Just put that first. And then, you know, whatever happens in the physical, we're going to trust in God and act through His will.
Yeah, I have a question for you. So when you say you slipped up, when you did, like, gay things, like, what were you...
What? It's just funny when you said that.
Yeah. So, what did you think about prior to that and okay. after the fact?
Okay, well, I come from a background of multi-religious parents. So my mom was raised Jewish and my dad was raised Catholic, and they kind of didn't change. they got married and they're still together. So I was raised Catholic, really, and I went to Catholic school, and I understood a little bit, and we went to church, but I didn't really fully understand, like, the sacrifice that God gave, and that really struck me, like, around the time that I met you, like I said. So, mm-hmm. around, like, I've always had, like, temptations, I'm not gonna lie, I've always had temptations to, you know, be with men and do things. So, like, when I was 18 and I was out in the world and I could do what I wanted to do, that's kind of what I did. I basically did exactly what the Bible says when it comes to, you know, how people come to those temptations.
Mm-hmm.
It talks about, you know, worshiping things of the world and images instead of trusting in the power of God, and it's like basically like denying the power of God. So I kind of did that in my heart, and I was just, even though I felt something was off when I was doing it, I knew, I just kind of like, well, this pleasure is better than, you know, whatever my conscience is telling me, so I'm just gonna go do it, you know? But after, like, the heartbreak after heartbreak, and I know that may not happen to every man or woman when it comes to, you know, physical relationships. Some people can do it, like, a million times and have numbed themselves to where they don't feel anything. But the thing is that, you know, sexual sin is a very serious sin, and it has consequences. It has consequences on your heart and your soul, and actually your body, physically.
Wow, you're a sensible person. I like that.
I mean, it's really, my sense is not my sense, because I was doing it over pleasure. I was really bad. And I realized that, you know, it wasn't by my realizations. Like, God had to really pull me out of it.
Mm-hmm.
He used my friends, He used all different things to draw me to Him. So I know that, because then where I get to the point where I'm reading the Bible, it's like, wow, God says that He's giving us the power to trample on demons, to trample on snakes and scorpions. I'm going to trust in this God, you know? But yeah, like, I had relationships, and then I had a relationship with one person who he was, and this was after I was saved. So there was gay times before I was a Christian, and there was gay times after I was a Christian, you know, and that's the thing. It's complex sometimes. But I know, like, I need to avoid it after several relationships. After I was a Christian, it's like... Wow, I met this person, he was... He comes from a family also of multi faith practices. Like, his father was atheist and his mother was Christian. So similar experiences, and I had felt like I fell in love with him in a way, but also in a way of the world. And I feel like the lust of my flesh and my eyes were, and the pride of life, all of those pleasures that seem promising and tempting when it comes to sexual immorality, I gave in to them, even though I knew it was wrong. And at the end of the relationship, I was heartbroken.
Mm-hmm.
And I was so heartbroken. And I didn't know, and I broke up with him because I knew it was wrong, but I was still heartbroken.
Mm-hmm.
So it was very much like I played myself, thinking I could get away with it, right? But it has long-lasting effects. You know, and that's not to mention, like, I mean, thank God that I don't have any, like, diseases or anything, but if you don't get diseases, it could wear on your physical body, sexual immorality. It could wear on your spirit. That's one that I would watch out for. Yeah, sexual immorality. but at the same time, and I've met Christians who got HIV and they came to the Lord. Like, many great testimonies that I've heard, people still have faith no matter what. Like, and I'm appreciative that God has pulled me through, and he's in the process of healing my heart. It says that he draws near to those who are brokenhearted, you know, because he wants to heal us. He wants to, you know, fix our problems. Anytime that we do have one, it's like, that's the first thing that I do is I call on God. And it wasn't always like that. I would always try to, you know, and I still sometimes I want to fix it with, you know, like a food addiction, or I want to, you know, do things in the flesh, fleshly things. But then God calls me back and he gives me the power to trample on my temptations and to resist. Because, you know, in the Bible it says that if you resist the enemy, if you resist the temptations and the wiles and the tricks of the enemy of sin, it's like he flees, he runs from you. That's how, because he knows that God has his hand on you and he can't mess with God, because Jesus already defeated Satan. Like, it's already done.
Mm-hmm. Right. So yeah,
I've learned from experience and my relationship with God that, like, certain things are right and certain things are wrong, and that's just like my personal experience. And I know that a lot of Christians have similar experiences.
Yeah, that's great that you're doing, because, like, a lot of maybe everyone's sins that they either focus on, and so question with that is, why is, dude, if you know that answer, why is homosexuality is the sin that is the darkest for you, as in, like, why is it this challenging one? Let's just say if someone is...
That's definitely one of the most challenging ones in my life, yes. Some people aren't tempted by that, obviously, but...
Okay.
Some people are, you know?
Do you know why that is? Or did you guys thought about it? And
Yeah. Sorry, I mean...
It's okay to laugh.
Some people don't think about it, so you're right. Some people don't even think twice about it. But I has been wearing on my mind. And I think that... there's a lot of things. It's like I have to be humble because sometimes I can lose that part of myself and really, really like get into the prideful place, the pride of life. It's like we want to show face, we want to look good, we want to, you know, we want to, all different things. We want to make ourselves like this huge, big deal idol, right? And that's like the last idol of the fall, like besides, you know, the riches of the world and all the lusts and the flesh and of the eyes and the pride of life, everything that you can have in the world, fame, fortune, like if it's all in vain, if it's all just for your own pride, what is it? It doesn't do anything, doesn't do any good for anybody except for your ego. And when your ego is so high, but you can't even like, and you don't trust in God, and he gives you the, you can't, and you we really can't do anything without God, because God literally created everything, good and evil. When you fall, it's like, all your pride falls with that. And it says that pride goes, once you have pride, right after you fall, basically. So it says, pride comes before the fall. So if you avoid pride and you trust in God, you won't fall. But I think that's a lot of how I got to everyone. The thing is that everyone falls short of the glory of God. So we all have temptations, and some people struggle with things more than others, certain things.
Okay.
But how we get there, it's like, it's not, the thing is like, yeah, we should learn how we get there, but we don't need to worry. So one, if we trust in God. So yeah, like I may have kind of built up my pride, and I may have done certain things. But if I could tell you, pinpoint it, I could write a whole book on like my theory on like how I got there. But I mean, if you read Romans, it tells you kind of flat out. Paul talks about like the lifestyle of the people and kind of how it adds up. It's a very, like, it's a very rough, like, schematic. So it talks about, basically, like, how everything is, like, an idol and you don't trust in God. So it's, like, people are, like, trusting in vain idols to a point and creating evil things and ideas where they're not, like, trusting in the power of God and love. And they're kind of trading, so they trade all their, God gives them over to the depraved mind and to fulfill those actions.
Yeah.
So it's like, once you cross that point, and it's very slippery, like you don't, it doesn't happen overnight. It's very like a slow, slippery slope. That's why it's important to like continue to go back to God every day. Continue to get a humble check every day, you know, from God.
Is that a challenging sin for you? Because have you thought about it? Is it because maybe you are born gay, or?
I think that's a weird scientific statement. You're born gay or you're born this way.
Yeah, I'm trying to figure out how that's such specific challenge, just like everything else that could be and that's not.
That's definitely like, because babies aren't born with sexual preference. That's ridiculous, right?
Okay.
I think it's something that we develop over time by certain actions, and then over time when you learn, that's the thing. That's the problem with pride. It's like, because if so, you know, with pride, it's like, You build yourself up to a point where you think you're perfect, Mm-hmm. And then, so whatever you do, you try to justify to make, because you can't justify, like, well, things. Some things are more obvious that are wrong than others, right? Because of my experience with homosexuality, I know it's wrong. Like, I have had heartbreak. I've realized that there's, all the relationships are dead end. You know, and some people could say, like, hey, I've had, like, a great 10-year relationship with my boyfriend or my husband or whatever. I don't see what the problem is. But no matter what way I look at it, I don't see the fruitfulness of it, you know? I don't see the love of God in it. And okay. That's just my honest expression. It's not something I'm not hateful toward gay people. That's just what I'm trying to point out as truth and to help people out.
Right.
It's not to... The thing with pride is it's like with... If I were to say, like, when you get to a certain point with pride, it's like you try to cover up all the bad things about a sin to make it look okay or to make it look good. You get what I'm saying?
Right, yeah. Makes sense.
And if you look at the LGBTQ community, like, the base... That's basically what it is. It's like trying to cover up and make it look as good as possible when it's really suffering underneath.
Mm.
And it's painful to look at and painful to see that it's very shiny and attractive to people because many people fall into that sin. Many people, especially in a world where of access, where you can have all this pride and you can have all this lust and flesh and technology that allows us to do certain things so easily and to fulfill these desires. It's like, dang, you know.
Yeah, it's
so easy to slip up and get into that identity, like, well, I'm gay, like, I'm proud of it. But pride, before the fall comes pride, and that's where I warn people, it's like, you don't want to fall. Like, I don't want you to fall, bro.
are you suffering at all because that's a challenging sin for you? That's, like, a thing for you?
The thing is, yeah, but that's the short answer. The long answer, I would say that if you compare, like, everyone suffers for different reasons, like, but... Suffering is part of life. You could suffer in sin, or you could suffer for righteousness.
Okay, yeah.
Right? So, yeah. It's like, what do you choose? You want to suffer for... Basically, it's like, you want to suffer... But suffering is just a part of life. It's not... And some people, yeah, you can avoid suffering sometimes, and that's fine. But, don't do it for the sake of sinning.
Yeah, I've avoided a lot of world suffering because my life has been an easy ride. I don't smoke, drink, or do drugs. I don't hang out with bad parties, like gangs and whatever. I don't get into fights. I don't know the gay stuff, community stuff you've seen, but like the stuff that you probably see online or in Pride, I never got involved with those, so I've had a pretty easy ride.
That's good.
So I'm glad I don't suffer that way, but yeah.
So, yeah, it comes down to, like, I mean, I've dabbled in a little bit of that with the world, but I've realized quickly that it was like, this is not good. And I think a lot of those things are coping mechanisms to cover up, like, the pain that people feel from...
Yes.
You know... having the temptations, really.
Uh-huh. And
but it's like when you unravel the temptations and you unravel what it really is, you can let God, like, it's really like, you, because I don't have the power to stop temptations. No one does. You know? And all we have the power to do is to resist. That's the only power that God gave us, is just to resist it. And there's different things you can do in your life to resist it. Like, you can pray, you can worship God, you can stay in His Word, and all these things help. You can fast, you can do, you know, this or that, and these things help. but ultimately it's up to us to choose.
Yeah.
And